Right. So today we're going to be doing a deep dive into a case that really makes you think about your rights, especially the Fifth Amendment.
Yeah.
You know, the right to remain silent, not incriminating yourself, all that.
Right.
But here's the twist. What happens before you're officially under arrest? Like, does staying quiet then actually work against you later on?
That's a good question, and that's exactly what this case, Salinas v. Texas, a Supreme Court case, is all about.
Yeah, it's really interesting stuff.
Yeah, and you know, it gets into this concept of pre-custodial silence.
Oh, yeah.
So you're not in custody.
Right.
Not officially under arrest or anything, but you are being questioned by the police. It's kind of this gray area, you know?
Yeah.
Where the law isn't super clear about how your Fifth Amendment protections actually apply, and Salinas v. Texas dives right into that.
Okay, so let's set the scene here.
Okay.
We've got Genevieve Salinas.
Right.
And he voluntarily goes to the police station to answer some questions about a double murder.
Mm-hmm.
No handcuffs, no Miranda warning or anything like that.
Right.
He's just there to talk.
Yeah. And initially he's cooperating, answering the officer's questions, being pretty open.
Okay.
But then they hit him with this one question.
Oh.
They asked him whether the shell casings from the crime scene matched his shotgun.
Oh, wow.
And all of a sudden Salinas goes totally silent.
Mm.
Doesn't answer, just clams up.
I can imagine the officers probably took note of that.
Oh, yeah, for sure they did.
So this is where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
Salinas ends up being charged with the murders.
Right.
And during the trial, the prosecutor uses his silence about the shotgun as evidence against him.
Oh, wow.
Like to suggest he's guilty.
Yeah.
And he's convicted.
Mm.
So now the question is, was that fair?
Right.
I mean, did Salinas basically sabotage his own case just by not saying anything?
That's the question that went all the way up to the Supreme Court.
Well,
they had to decide, did using Salinas' silence against him this way actually violate his Fifth Amendment right to remain silent?
Right.
And the majority of the justices actually said no.
Really?
Yeah. They argued that the Fifth Amendment isn't what they called self-executing.
Okay, what does that mean?
So basically, you can't just stay silent and assume everyone automatically understands that you're invoking that right.
Interesting.
You have to actually say it.
Huh.
Justice Alito wrote the majority opinion, and he really made that point clear.
Oh, yeah.
He said, and I'm quoting here, before petitioner could rely on the privilege against self-incrimination, he was required to invoke it.
So they're saying he had to explicitly state that he was relying on the Fifth Amendment.
Exactly, not just stay silent.
Wow, that's pretty specific.
It is, and the court really emphasized that this invocation, you know, actually saying that you're using the Fifth Amendment,
right?
It needs to be super clear and like unambiguous.
Mm, yeah. I can see how that could be pretty tough for someone.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if they're in a stressful situation.
Exactly like being questioned about a murder.
Yeah. It makes you wonder how many people would actually know to do that.
It's a really good point. You know, and it raises all these questions about whether this ruling is actually fair in practice.
Right.
Like, how much does someone need to know about the law to effectively use their rights?
Yeah, that's a good point. And it seems like it could almost be a catch-22, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have the right to remain silent.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't invoke it in this, like, very specific way.
Right.
It might not actually protect you.
Yeah, that's the concern.
So then what's the point of having the right in the first place?
That's a great question. And it really highlights how important it is for people to understand their rights.
Right.
And not just understand them, but also know how to actually exercise them effectively.
Yeah.
Even when they're not in police custody.
Wow. Okay. So we've got this whole idea of having to clearly invoke the Fifth Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
But hold on a second. Didn't one of the justices have a different take on this?
Yeah. Justice Thomas actually agreed with the majority's decision, but he had totally different reasoning.
Really?
Yeah. He went so far as to say that using this pre-custodial silence as evidence might be okay, even if Salinas had invoked the Fifth.
Wow. Okay. So how did he justify that?
His argument was all about this concept of compulsion.
Okay.
He didn't think that just because the prosecutor asked about the shotgun,
right,
that it actually forced Salinas to incriminate himself.
Hmm.
So, like, in his view, Salinas' silence wasn't actually compelled even in that situation.
So we've got the majority saying you got to be super clear about invoking the Fifth.
Yeah.
And then Justice Thomas saying maybe silence can be used against you regardless.
Right.
It's kind of confusing.
It is. It definitely raises questions about how this actually plays out in real life.
Yeah, for sure. And it makes you think about the power dynamics involved, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, imagine you're in a police station.
Right.
Being questioned about a serious crime. Even if you did know all the legal terms, would you really feel comfortable using them?
That's a good point. I mean, the pressure in that kind of setting can be immense.
Right.
It's easy to see how someone might just freeze up, you know,
yeah.
regardless of what they know about the law.
And this ruling could even give law enforcement kind of a way to take advantage of that, right?
Yeah, that was a big concern for the dissenting justices.
Okay.
They were worried that this decision could be used to pressure suspects into talking
mm-hmm.
by not explicitly reminding them about their right to remain silent.
So it's like, you have the right to remain silent, but only if you know the secret password.
Uh-huh. Yeah, kind of.
Hmm.
Not ideal.
No, definitely not. And, you know, this whole case just shows how complex and often confusing the legal system can be.
Yeah, and how important it is to really understand your rights.
Absolutely.
Especially in situations like this where the stakes are so high.
Exactly.
It's not just about knowing the law in theory.
Right.
It's about being able to actually apply it when you need it most.
And that's not always easy.
No, it's not.
All right, so we've got these three different perspectives on this case.
Yeah.
The majorities focus on this clear invocation of the Fifth Amendment.
Right.
Justice Thomas focusing on compulsion.
Yeah.
And the dissenting justices who were concerned about the context
mm-hmm.
and, you know, the potential for unfairness in this whole situation.
Right.
And it really raises some important questions.
Yeah.
I mean, what does all this mean for someone who's being questioned by the police?
Uh-huh.
How clear do you have to be when you're invoking your rights?
Mm-hmm.
And does it really come down to knowing all this specific legal wording?
It's tricky, right?
It really is. And I think we need to delve into these questions a bit more.
Yeah, agree.
Because this isn't just a theoretical discussion,
yeah,
you know?
Right.
It has real-world consequences for people.
Absolutely. And that's what we're here to explore.
Exactly.
So let's keep digging into Salinasky, Texas, and see what else we can uncover.
All right, let's do it.
Okay. Yeah, it really gets to the heart of, like, how accessible is our legal system, you know?
Yeah.
Do you need a law degree to actually understand and use your rights properly?
That's a really good point. And, you know, going through all the court opinions and everything,
mm-hmm.
one thing that really struck me was, did Salinas's lawyers ever argue that, like, his silence itself was a way of invoking the Fifth Amendment?
Interesting.
You know, we heard that he looked down, he shuffled his feet, got visibly nervous when they asked him about the shotgun.
Right.
Couldn't that be seen as like a nonverbal, I'm pleading the Fifth?
Oh, that's fascinating.
You know.
It really is. And it highlights how much this whole area of pre-custodial silence, you know,
yeah.
relies on interpretation and context.
Yeah.
The court didn't really address that specific argument directly, but it definitely raises some interesting questions about, you know, nonverbal communication and how that interacts with legal rights.
It's a good point.
I mean,
imagine you're Salinas in that situation.
Right.
You're at the police station. You're being questioned about a double murder.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Even if you did know the exact words to invoke the Fifth.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be, like, incredibly intimidating to actually say them out loud?
Absolutely. The psychological pressure in that setting, you know, can be just immense.
Yeah.
It's totally understandable why someone, regardless of what they know about the law, might just freeze up or react in a way that doesn't perfectly match what the law expects.
Yeah. Makes you think about the police tactics, too.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
The dissenting justices were worried that officers might use this ruling, to their advantage.
Right.
Essentially, like, tricking suspects into talking.
Yeah.
By not explicitly reminding them about their right to remain silent.
That's a valid concern, because if someone isn't aware they have the right to remain silent,
right,
they're way more likely to answer questions
mm-hmm.
and potentially incriminate themselves without realizing it.
Exactly.
And this ruling could almost be seen as giving law enforcement, you know, this kind of subtle tool to exploit that lack of awareness.
It's almost like the system is saying, you have the right to remain silent, but only if you know the secret password.
Huh, that's a great way to put it.
Right.
Yeah, it really underscores that tension between, you know, individual rights and the power of the state.
It's a tough balance.
It is, for sure.
So we've got this complex situation, right?
Yeah.
The majority emphasizing this need for explicit invocation.
Right.
Justice Thomas focusing on compulsion,
uh-huh.
and the dissenting justices who are worried about the context and the potential unfairness.
Yeah, it's a lot to think about.
It is. It's a lot to unpack.
It is. But I think for our listeners, you know, the key takeaway here
yeah.
is understanding your Fifth Amendment rights.
Mm-hmm.
even in situations where you might not think they apply.
Right.
Like being aware of these nuances even before you're officially in custody could be really crucial.
Yeah, it's a good reminder that the law isn't always black and white.
Definitely.
There are these gray areas and these ambiguities that can have some serious consequences.
Exactly. And that's why cases like Salinas v. Texas are so important.
Yeah.
They force us to look at how the legal system actually works in practice,
right,
not just the theory.
Mm-hmm.
And to really think critically about what that means for everyday people.
Okay, so where do we go from here?
That's a good question.
What can our listeners do with all this information?
Right.
I mean, it's clear that understanding your Fifth Amendment rights is crucial.
Mm-hmm.
But like, how do we actually apply that knowledge in a practical way?
Well, one of the most important things is to just educate ourselves, you know?
Yeah.
The more we know about our rights,
right,
the better equipped we'll be to actually use them when we need to.
Mm-hmm.
There's tons of resources out there online through legal aid organizations,
yeah,
even public libraries,
right,
that can help break down these complex legal concepts,
uh-huh,
into something a little more understandable.
Yeah, definitely knowledge is power.
It really is.
And I think it's important to remember that this case isn't just about Salinas.
Right.
You know, this has implications for all of us.
Absolutely.
If something like this could happen to him, it could happen to anyone.
Yeah, and it shows how important it is to be aware of your surroundings,
mm-hmm,
understand the potential consequences of what you say and what you do,
right,
and know when to actually assert your rights.
Yeah.
And don't be afraid to ask for a lawyer.
Oh, yeah, that's a great point.
If you're ever unsure of how to proceed, you know,
mm-hmm,
in a situation like this.
Especially when dealing with law enforcement.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Having legal representation,
yeah,
can make a huge difference.
Yeah.
A lawyer can help you navigate the legal system,
mm-hmm, mm,
make sure your rights are protected,
right,
and really advocate for you.
Yeah, they can be an invaluable resource in these kinds of situations.
Absolutely, they can.
So this whole deep dive into Salinas v. Texas,
mm-hmm,
it's been pretty eye-opening.
Yeah.
It's a reminder that the law can be a double-edged sword.
It definitely can.
And it's not always easy to wield it effectively.
And that's exactly why it's so important to have these discussions.
Yeah.
To challenge what we think we know about the legal system,
mm-hmm,
and to really push for a system,
yeah,
that is more transparent,
right,
more accessible,
yeah,
and more just for everyone.
Yeah, it really underscores how crucial it is to be like an informed citizen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it comes to your rights.
Yeah.
You know, we often hear about the Fifth Amendment, like in the context of arrests and interrogations and stuff.
Right.
But Salinas v. Texas shows us how relevant it can be,
uh-huh,
even before you're officially in custody.
Exactly. And that's why I think these kinds of discussions are so important.
Yeah.
You know, to challenge our assumptions about the legal system,
right,
and to really push for, you know, greater clarity and fairness,
yeah,
in how these rights are applied in real life.
This whole discussion has definitely given me a lot to think about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I consider myself pretty well informed,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Yeah.
But I gotta admit, I wouldn't have known how to navigate a situation like Salinas's.
It's tough.
It really is. And it makes you wonder how many people out there, you know,
wow,
might be unknowingly putting themselves at risk,
mm-hmm,
simply because they just don't know the intricacies of the law.
That's a really valid point, and it highlights the need for, you know, better legal resources.
Yeah.
More education about these things.
Right.
It shouldn't be up to individuals to become like legal experts,
right,
just to protect their basic rights. And you're feeling unsure or pressured or anything.
Right.
Don't hesitate to assert your right to remain silent.
Yeah.
And if you're not sure at all what to do,
uh-huh,
ask for a lawyer.
Good advice.
It's your right and it could make a huge difference.
Absolutely. It's always better to be safe than sorry.
Exactly.
And exercise your rights, even if you think maybe the situation doesn't quite call for it.
Right. You never know how things might unfold.
Yeah.
And having legal counsel can really help guide you and protect you.
So I think it's also crucial for us as a society, you know,
yeah,
to keep having these conversations,
mm-hmm,
about our legal system and about our individual rights.
Absolutely.
Cases like Salinas v. Texas, they expose the complexities,
right,
the potential pitfalls,
mm-hmm,
and they should really inspire us to strive for a system,
yeah,
that is clearer and fairer,
mm-hmm,
and truly serves the interests of justice.
Well said.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground today.
We have.
From the nuances of pre-custodial silence,
mm-hmm,
to the importance of clearly invoking your Fifth Amendment rights.
Right.
Hopefully this has provided some valuable insights.
Yeah.
And maybe even sparked some further exploration for our listeners.
Definitely.
So remember,
mm-hmm,
the law can be complex.
It can be.
But your rights are fundamental.
Absolutely.
Stay informed.
And be vigilant.
And never be afraid to stand up for what you believe in.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
And on that note, we'll wrap up this deep dive.
Okay.
Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you next time.
Sounds good.
For another fascinating exploration into the world of law and justice.